Amen. You pray for Brother Barnes as he comes to preach.
Amen. All right. Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9. Unusual for me to probably take it down a notch, but I really want to obey the Lord today. Amen. And I was thinking, though, while Brother Cooper was preaching, South Carolina seems to be good to him. Amen. And he's fired up. Praise God. But anyway, we appreciate that. I thought about when they were singing about there's nothing that my God can't do. And I thought about Brother Josh Carlisle let me be with him for a Sunday. And so I got to go see the old home place where my daddy was born and raised in West Virginia. And how did God reach through all of that? And my old daddy, my grandpa was an old bootlegger. That crowd up there didn't know God, didn't care about God. And God reached through all of that. And saved me first, praise God, and then 2 years later saved him. And I bless his name, and I'm grateful for that. Honored to be here today, honored to be a part of this meeting. I've been able to come since 2009, and we're grateful. Honored to be a member of the Bible Baptist Church, and Pastor Gravely is my pastor, and grateful for that as well. But I guess a week ago, I was praying on a Monday afternoon for the message that night. And the Lord began to speak to me about this passage of Scripture. And I just know that it was the first message that I am supposed to preach this meeting. Look in verse 17. Chapter 9 of Psalms in verse 17. The Bible said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. You know what the Lord said to me that I want you to preach? We have forgotten about hell. We have forgotten about hell. We hardly ever hear a message about hell. I know that it's a curse word to a lot of people. I know that there's reasons, and we'll deal with that in a minute, that we don't like to preach on it. But hell is a reality tonight. Hell is a reality tonight. And if you're lost without God, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. Oh, I thank God tonight I'm not going to hell. I'm glad I'll never spend one night in the charred walls of the damned. I'll never know what it's like to be on fire in hell. I thank God I've been saved from the judgment of God. Amen. But the wicked shall be turned into hell. I'm telling you, this world is going to hell as fast as she can go. Our churches are filling up with people that are going to hell. They're sitting on our church pews. They've made their profession. They live in fornication. They live in sin. They smoke their dope. They drink their booze. And they go to our Baptist churches, and they're on their way to hell. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, that stuff is beginning to fire me up. They claim to know God, sending pictures to each other of their bodies. God help us. Oh, it's about time we realize that our churches are filling up with a mess. And part of the problem is we're not preaching on it. Amen. But that's another message. Amen. Can I say, first of all, we've forgotten about the awareness of hell. You know, the Bible said the place was created for the devil and his angels. We know the Bible. I'm not going to give you anything new tonight, but I'm telling you, we've lost our burden tonight. The punishment in hell in Luke chapter 16, we know that there is fire there. I know Hollywood takes it out. I know authors that write their books take it out. I know preachers try to take out the fire in hell, but I'm telling you, the Bible said that rich man said, I am tormented in this flame. There is literal fire in hell. And if you're a fool tonight, ought to reject Christ because you're a young person and you want to live it up in this world, I'm telling you, you'll be on rotten fire in hell, or if you're here tonight and you have so much stinking pride that you won't admit that you're going to hell, I'm telling you, you know what? That pride will get you. It'll get you a lake of fire. Well, you'll burn forever and ever and ever and ever in a lake of fire. I'm glad I had enough sense when I heard the gospel and I repented of my sin and trusted the blood and got born again. I'm telling you, I wouldn't let anything take me to hell. Amen. Oh, there's fire in hell. There's thirst in hell. There's remembrance in hell. You remember he said, son, remember. He said, remember first of all the fun you had. Remember the good times. You know, if you're determined tonight to go to hell, you better go enjoy the finest restaurants you can find. You might as well go to all the amusement parks and get on all the roller coasters you can have fun. You might as well go do all you can because there'll be none of that in hell. I'm telling you, all I know is God said, I want you to let them know we forgot about a place that is called hell. God help us tonight to be reminded there is a place called hell. Amen. There's thirst, there's remembrance. I believe they recall, he said, the good time. They'll recall the foolishness. You know, I'd say, preacher, he probably mocked old Lazarus. Yes, sir. Because he said he was saved, and yet he's a beggar at his gate. You know, God may have just let him be a beggar so he can be a witness to that man. You know, to give that man an opportunity. That old rich man, when he woke up in hell, he realizes how a fool he had been. Oh, listen, my brother that died and went to hell in 1984, I guarantee you, all of these years, 40 years later, he's rolling in his mind how much of a fool I have been when I heard that message on Judas's last chance, and he took that pew and he said, no, no. I saw the tears running down his cheeks, but he said, no, no. I promise you tonight, if you're here lost without God, he'd trade places with you any day of the week to get another chance. But once you go to hell, there is not another chance. I'm telling you, friend, hell is real tonight. God help us. Recall the foolishness. He recalled his family.
Yes, sir.
I believe if you're here and you got saved family, you're going to recall how they tried to win you to God. How that they worked and worked and prayed and prayed and lived a life in front of you. I've got families still today that are not saved. And I beg them and I pray for them and I spend time, Brother Ben, in front of God for them. But I'm telling you, if they go to hell, it'll be their own fault. Oh, but they're going to recall. My brother, no doubt, has rolled in his mind over and over and over that last invitation that he had. I remember when he had a leukemia and he heard that message. And the reason why he came, my pastor, Brother Dana's brother Joe Williams, he said, if you come, we'll raise up the money to fly you to Minnesota to get you a bone marrow transplant. And I, at the church, we raised up the money. But you know what? I never saw God deal with him again. He heard his last chance. I remember when he was on that old respirator and he's breathing for every last breath. And I said, John, aren't you even worried about God? And he shrugged his shoulders. I'm telling you, if God ever sends away your day of grace, you're dead and in hell, friend. I'm telling you, you're going there. I'm telling you, if God Almighty speaks to you today and you're lost, you'd be a fool not to run down this whole altar and get birth in the family of God. Amen. Amen. Can I say not only the awareness of hell, but the apathy of hell? You know what the word apathy means? A lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. Can I say the church as a whole has lost its concern?
You're right.
I'm with Brother Cooper. I preach in many a meetings. There's 15 and there's 20. Where I was last week, we probably had 18 on Wednesday night. But you know what? They need revival too. Oh, God help us. But you know what I see in the churches? We're not concerned. We're so wrapped up in our video games and our lives and our phones and all of our iPads that we're not concerned about that brother that or that person beside us that's going to hell. Oh, that we'd get a burden. I'm telling you what I see that we lost that was in the 1970s as a teenager. I'll tell you what we had back then. We had a burden. A church had run 200. We'd have 50 out on visitation every Thursday night. We'd pack the pews every Sunday with sinners. We ran 3 buses. Back in them days, they had station wagon. Everybody filled it up with sinners, and they brought them to the house of God. You know why? They had a burden. I'm telling you, you and I, we've lost our burden. God said, we have forgotten about hell. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. The disconnect is because we're not going to hell because we're saved. We hardly think about those that are. When's the last time you personally, on the street, stopped somebody and gave them a gospel tract and said, hey, I just want to know if you know Jesus. I just want to know if you've been saved. When's the last time you done that? Not on Saturday visitation. I'm talking about, you know what? We're way behind on that. I know it ain't a shouting preaching, but it's what we need, amen. Oh, that God tonight would drop a burden down so thick upon us that we'd run to the altar and beg God forgiveness and say, God, help me with my apathy of a place called hell. Amen. God help us. Number 3, not only the apathy of hell, but we're apologetic when we preach on hell. You hear me? We think that it's not the right time. Can I tell you, hell is always the right time. We think it's not the right place. It's always the right place. He said, Brother Barnes, it's a camp meeting. I know it is. But God said it's the right place. Back in October, I preached in our missions revival and I preached on hell. And I remember going to the pastor afterwards. And I said, Pastor, I had to preach it like I was apologetic. And boy, God got on me. He said, don't you ever apologize for preaching on hell. If you can't preach on hell in a missions meeting, where in the world can you preach on it? What is the purpose of missions? That this world is going to hell. And thank God Jesus died that they don't have to go to hell. You hear me? If you ever hear that Bobby Barnes is a Calvinist, you know I've lost my mind because Jesus died for everybody. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. I say, praise God. I'm glad He died. He died for the rich. He died for the poor. He died for this over here. And He died for them over there. I say, glory to God. I say, hallelujah. I'm glad He died for everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say glory. I say glory. I say bless His holy name. He came for bus kids like me and you. I say glory. Bless His holy name. I say glory. Bless His holy name. I say glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Say it's not the right subject. It's always the right subject. I'm out of breath, praise God. Yeah. Three simple reasons why hell is neglected. Number one, because we're too busy. Our mind is preoccupied. On my way to meetings, every time I stop at a rest stop or the bathroom, whatever, John, I always take gospel tracts in there. But what happens, my mind gets preoccupied. Sometimes they're even in my pocket.
Yes.
And I'll get going down the road, and I'll say, I didn't leave a track. You know, I didn't leave a track? My mind preoccupied. Our mind is too preoccupied and not preoccupied with sinners going to hell. Number two, not only the mind, but the ministry. A man who is faithful to his calling, he's going to be busy. But oh, how we got to be reminded about the lost and condemned. What is the purpose of our ministry? It's others. When I was coming up in the late 70s, we had, y'all remember that easy believism? Boy, we preached against that. One, two, three, repeat after me, jump out of a tree and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? But here's what we did on the other side of that. Them Baptists that preached against that, they went on the other side and sat down. Amen. I believe in going after sinners. I believe in knocking on doors. I believe in passing out tracts. I believe, thank God, Jesus loves sinners, hallelujah. I'm glad he loved me, amen. Oh, yes. We're too busy. Number two, preaching on hell, it has a brand. You know what the problem is? The message is a sobering message. A lot of times we think, man, that wouldn't work there. It's kind of sobering. You know, it does us good to be sobering sometimes. When's the last time I or you wept ourselves asleep because somebody we love is perishing? I'm going to tell myself it's been too long. It's been too long. It's been too long. It's a sober message. It's a silent message. Not a lot of amens a lot of times. Not a lot of shouting a lot of times. Sometimes, Brother John, it's so quiet when you preach on hell.
Yes, sir.
And in your flesh you say, ah, Lord, I don't want to do that. But we've got to obey because our churches are filling up with lost people.
Yes, sir.
They think it's okay to cuss and to smoke and to drink and to live in fornication. Oh, I'm saved. That's what the world says. But it's getting in our churches now.
Amen.
It's a simple message is why we don't like to preach on sometimes. We're afraid that we'll be pegged as a simple preacher. Well, if that's what you want to call me, that's all right. That's all right. Salvation's simple. Preaching on Jesus is simple. Hell is simple. Matter of fact, Jesus was simple. He who knew everything had all the wisdom in the world. He gave it down where you and I could understand it. I was an 8-year-old boy, realized I was lost without God, and the Holy Ghost said, if you'll come, I'll give you living water. And thank God, I'm glad it's simple. Amen. We're afraid sometimes preach on the gospel because it's simple. I'm glad it's simple. So that little feller can understand. Amen. It's a simple message. Can I say it's a scorned message? A lot of times nobody comes to the altar. I've been in meetings, and I know you other evangelists and pastors have too. When you give invitations, sometimes their own family will come down and get saved, and they don't even come pray with them. That blows me away. I was in a meeting. It was a Sunday afternoon. And I know it's hard sometimes to preach in a Sunday afternoon after Baptist done 8. They're already like this looking around. They're ready to go to bed. Amen. But I was in North Carolina and I was preaching, and God moved in that thing. And this 12-year-old girl, Brother Adams, she came down and she wanted to get saved. And the girl's grandmother came with her, went back to that girl's mother, her own daughter, and she said, "Hey, your daughter's on the altar. She wants to be saved." And she went like that. "I'm not about a saved woman." And she said, "No, you don't understand. Your daughter's on the altar. She wants to be saved." And she pulled away again. I'm not going to lie. My blood began to boil. I said, "Is that what we've become? If I had a daughter on the altar who was lost, I'd jump over every pew if I had to get down and pray with them." Amen. She finally gave in and went to pray with her daughter. How pitiful. We're busy. The brand. Number three, the burden is gone. We've lost the burden of the condition of man that he's lost. You know, the Bible said, "Wide, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many be that go in thereat." I believe, you can believe whatever, but I believe the majority of this world's going to hell. Probably, I know there's over 200 some thousand people die every day in our whole world, not just the United States, the whole world. I'd say 2/3 of that's going to hell.
Yeah, sir.
What are you doing to stop it?
Come on.
What am I doing to stop it?
Good.
I've asked God, increase my burden.
Amen.
I want to be more burdened for my neighbor. I've been praying for my own neighbor. And last time I talked to him, Bud Gravely told me they won't talk to me about it anymore.
Yeah.
So I happened to be able to cut the grass Thursday, and I saw him out there, and I said, "I'm a going." So I ran that mower across the street, and I said, "Hey, Rusty, I need to talk to you." And before he told me to leave him alone, Brother Laddie, I just let him talk. And you know what? Boy, he began to talk, and before you know it, he brought up this about church. And man, he opened that door over here for me, and he opened that door over there for me. I said, "Rusty, I just want you to go to heaven with me. I just want you to go to heaven with me." I said, "If you ever have a question, why don't you ask me? I want to help you. I want you to go to heaven with me." Instead of getting mad this time, he grinned real big, and he said, "All right, God, help us to get our burden back. Burden for our neighbors, our burden for our family, our burden for our community, our burden for our nation." Amen. I pray every day for Mr. Biden, Kamala Harris, senators, governors, congressmen, all of those every day. We have lost a burden. I want to read you in Romans chapter 9. We've lost our brokenness as well. Paul said in verse 1 of Romans 9, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continue sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ." You know what he's saying? "I'd go to hell, Brother Mark." He said, "I'd go to hell from a family and my kinsmen if I knew that they'd be saved."
Yeah, you're right.
When's the last time we got that desperate?
Come on.
When's the last time that we got that broken?
Good.
I was praying for my brother, and still have two lost brothers. And I was praying for him several months ago. Brother John, I said, "Lord, I've done all I know to do. I've wept for him. I've preached to him. I've prayed." But he said, "You hadn't fasted for him."
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I still haven't done a whole lot of that, Brother Josh. God help us to push food away every now and then.
Amen.
And get a burden for somebody.
Amen.
Let's stand if you would, please. We forgot about hell. We ought to be on this altar today, begging God for a burden, begging God for concern. There's no doubt in my mind somebody needs to be birthed into the family of God today. There's no doubt in my mind there wouldn't be God working like he's worked in these 2 days. Oh God, help us Help us. Help us mourn. Help me to have a burden. I don't want my brother William to go to hell. I don't want Terry to go to hell. I have so many nephews and nieces, so many cousins lost without God. I don't want my neighbors to go to hell. I want them to come to Christ. Some are praying. What about you? Thank you, preacher.